We often get asked questions when disasters happen. I don't know about you. You know, we often get asked questions. You know, prominent among the questions is, why did God allow that to happen if he had all the power, since he is God? People ask so much. In fact, one particular brother, who thank God is going to be with the Lord, he used to ask so often that I didn't even wait. Whenever there's a disaster, I will ring and go to his house. At times, I will actually know of the disaster before him. But I was always answering that question. Why did God not stop it? He is God. He's a God of justice. Why didn't he stop it? The last person that asked the question was on Friday. We get asked the question when a loved one dies or a youngish person, you get and ask that question. Why? God has the power. He's a God of justice. Why did he let it happen? Many of you are old enough to remember what happened in Dunblane in Scotland. They were kindergarten children. And a mad person got in with a knife and killed many of the children, including some of the helpers. And the question came again, why did God not prevent that? He's a God of justice. People get outraged, and rightly so. At times you see in the newspaper or on the news, a parent have killed their toddler. And then when during the autopsy, they find bruises, cigarette marks, and this is their child. Why did they do it? It's actually less prominent than why did God let it happen? It's all around. We are, you know, rightly so, people are outraged about the failure at times of the justice system. When the guilty is let off and the innocent is convicted. Especially when the guilty is let off, everybody knows they did it. Either because of, you know, the failure in the justice system or because they belong to a cult and they've shown their sign and they're let off. People are outraged. They are unhappy. And we get the question, why did God let it happen? You know, we are reminded of Stephen Lawrence case, a young man that was stabbed and killed for many years, relentlessly. The mother and the father, but more so the mother, kept on pushing for justice. They made a lot of mistakes. And there was an inquiry, and the police was deemed to be institutionally racist. Tell me something else I don't know about. People know that. But officially, it was put down because of the, you know, series of mistakes they made in catching the killers. You will remember a few weeks ago, a member of the elite police force, particular section. This guy was part of the team that looks after foreign dignitaries when they come into the country with, you know, billions and millions of pounds they come in to spend. So there's a special force that looks after them, some of the royal families in other countries. This man abducted a young girl, a woman in London, and molested her, assaulted her, and killed her. There was an outrage. It was during this time of pandemic, they said people shouldn't come out. Women came out to demonstrate. Enough is enough. I just visit my friend. I can't walk home again. You know, you remember it. You know, and we also know about Fred and Rosemary West, who decided to be killing young girls. They killed, you know, between about 10 young girls, including their own child, and buried them under the floorboards. Evil. And then we are asked, why did God not stop it? You know, not long ago, a young man was released from prison after spending 40 years, and he was not guilty. What happened? He was just in an area, it's just like you, you know, visiting an area about a mile away, and there was a murder, and of course the police went around and arrested this guy. Did you do it? I didn't do it. He had too much to say. No problem. The legal system there got to the point that he was given two options. One, face the electric chair, or a life sentence. What will you choose? He chose the life sentence. I didn't do it anymore, right? Choose. So after spending 40 years, some lawyers decided to look into the case. And they found that the DNA of the killer, which they had, was different from this man's DNA. And a vital evidence, a neighbor that saw the killer, he said the killer was, say, 6'2". This guy was only 5'4". But they did not pass that information to the investigators. So this young boy spent 40 years and was released in his 60s. Injustice. We are really, it's okay when we are outraged. We hear such things, we see such things, we experience such things. When we just got this building here, we are rejoicing, and someone gave us a tin of chocolate. So a young man came to see me. He helped. He was a Muslim. He helped to, you know, tidy the place. The place was so untidy. And then after some time, he said he had to go. He walked down the drive, and I waved to him. Within a minute, he ran back. A car pulled up, and some policemen, he muffed, he wanted to push him into the car. They said they saw him smoking. He was smoking hemp. He had drugs. He shouted and ran back to me. This guy did not even take sweet from me. He doesn't smoke. And then the people just jumped into the car and ran off when I came out. How? Injustice. This happened here. This guy was not smoking. I was with him. He didn't take drugs. The sweet I offered him, he didn't take it. He just came to help. Injustice is terrible. And it's right to be outraged. Even in prison, in the prisons, prisoners know of the crime that they reckon to be terrible. Okay? Among the prisoners, these are recognized sentenced prisoners. Those crimes that they reckon to be vile, the criminals have to be taken, the elite group of baddies have to be taken care of, protected from the majority, because they will do them harm in prison. As a result, we can bring them out to take their fresh air in the middle of the night while others are sleeping. If not, they will just kill them. People get outraged, and it's okay to feel that way. Unfairness and injustice is, you know, comes up when we feel hopeless to help in a situation. But now, brothers and sisters and friends, suppose God does strike people dead as soon as they do something wrong. Because the outcry and the question is, why did God not do something? Why did God not stop it? Now, suppose God actually strikes people dead as soon as they deserve it or do something. Suppose in some churches, where they shout, die, 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 die. They said their enemies should die. They chanted their enemies should die. Some go further to say, fire, fire, death by fire. That's slow, painful. It is, you know, suppose God just acts immediately. Fire, fire. Die, die. Does that what God says? This is in church. A young man that I know very well actually suffered from something like that. His half-sister was ill. This young man was, you know, a child of God. He was hardworking. He decided to go with the half-sister's husband to church. But the volume, the amount of die, 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 fire near him made him convinced that they suspected him of the half-sister's illness. He said he had been before, but this one, everybody gathering and saying, die, die, fire, fire, pointed at him. Maybe he opened his eyes, he saw everybody looking at him. So I felt so sorry for him. He didn't do anything. Some people want justice, they want it now, and it may even buy in, it may be real justice, it may also be an accusation. Suppose God acts as soon as people deserve judgment. You know, people should just pause and think about it. Supposing someone does something wrong to you, or you think someone has done something wrong, and God just kills the person. God deals with the person. When you pause and you think, you see that really, if you were the one that they were asking, people were saying that you should die, you wouldn't like it. And nobody, if God really decides to kill people immediately they deserve it, nobody will be here. And if you are here, you go to the high street and you see people just, you know, you see the ambulance. Even the ambulance driver will die, you know. Even if you are in a plane, right? You are in a plane and then the co-pilot and the pilot will die as well. If supposing God just decides to strike people dead, you think of evil, you're gone. Then let me tell you, if you are in a plane, imagine the airport where you will land if the pilot and the co-pilot are dead. Imagine the airport, imagine how you will land. People should pause and think. Who will survive? How many people will survive? We've been singing this morning the fact that God forgives. Yes, I want to say God loves you. But you are not the only one that God loves. The other day from here, we had, Pearl was speaking, we talked about hyperlink. Leia came to talk about it. When a teacher of the law came to Jesus and asked him, which is the greatest law, commandment? Okay? And Jesus said, love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your strength, and all your soul. And the second is as the first, love your neighbor as yourself. Jesus did not separate them. Okay? Love the Lord with everything, but love your neighbor as yourself. They are linked. That word again, hyperlinked. See? Love your neighbor as yourself. Nobody will survive. It's okay to think of that person is doing wrong. You won't be so quick to want justice if you think of the grace that God is showing to you. Instead, let us see what Isaiah says about it. So we all, like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us has turned to our own way. And the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. Iniquity is sin. We all. That is all. Like sheep who've gone astray. The Lord has laid on Jesus the sin of us all. Where will we be when we think of it like this? That we all, where are guilty? When we think of it like this, we will say, oh, Lord, have mercy. Because it's only by God's grace what we should actually do to say, thank God for his mercy and his kindness that we are alive. That you and I are able to see one day, a new day. You thank God for his mercy, you know, for his patience. Because there's no, without God's mercy and patience, nobody will be alive. So the God that we are saying, why didn't he act? We should thank him for his mercy and patience. You know, Lamentations 3:22 says, the steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. And there's a song. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness, O Lord. But ultimately, the sinner will not go free. God will judge. I will explain it in a moment. But ultimately, God will judge. People will not get away with anything because their God's justice is awesome. We are right to have a sense of outrage about injustice, but, you know, it's unfair, it's unjust, but in God we judge, and injustice is not in God's world. God is holy. You can't bring sin and God together. It's a holy God. Injustice and unrighteousness don't make for the goodness of God. They don't count in God's righteousness. There will be a day that there will be the reckoning, judgment, and there will be no appeal. The people that will get away scot-free are those who have repented of their sins. Okay, that's asking God to forgive them. Because God came into his creation as Christ Jesus. He came. He lived the life we should have lived and died the death we should have died in our place. But we thank God that Jesus rose from the grave 3 days later. And then he's, you know, he's offering us the gift of forgiveness and salvation. Wow, see that package? I forgive you and I've saved you. But you have to believe and repent. Because if you don't believe and repent, what's the need? Why did I come to die? Why is your sin laid on me if you continue to do the same thing? So God will judge. So those that will not be judged are those who have repented and asked Jesus to forgive them, and by God's grace, take the strength that the Holy Spirit gives to live their lives. And if they do anything wrong, they quickly repent. They ask God. They don't make it a habit, but they make a mistake in a dangerous world. They say, God, please forgive me. And God forgives them. God forgives them. It's a God of love. But as we go in, the same people who are forgiven, who have gotten this mercy of forgiveness, I hope we are all awake, right? The group, the people that have been forgiven should be very careful. You have received mercy. You have to show mercy to others. Look at our main text. What does it say? Matthew 5:7. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Okay, God has made it conditional. Okay, you are blessed if you show it. I will bless you. Blessed are the merciful. You see, when you look at Someone that is merciful, the person is forgiving. The person is compassionate. The person is lenient. A merciful person relieves people of pain or discomfort. He takes them away. He helps you. Let us look at what Jesus taught about people who don't forgive others and who are not merciful. This is from Matthew 18, 21 to 35. This is from Jesus directly, and there would not be, of course, it's unfiltered, there would not be much explanation. So then Peter, an apostle that we know, came to Jesus and asked, "Lord, how many times should I forgive my brother or sister who sins against me? Up to seven times?" Jesus answered, "I tell you, not seven times, but 77 times. Therefore, the kingdom of heaven is like a king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. As he began this settlement, a man who owed him 10,000 bags of gold was brought to him. Since he was not able to pay, the master ordered that he and his wife and his children and all that he had be sold to repay the debt. At this, the servant fell on his knees before him. 'Be patient with me,' he begged. 'I will pay back everything.' The servant's master took pity on him, canceled the debt, and let him go." Don't forget, he just canceled it. He didn't say repay. "But when that servant went out, he found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 silver coins. He grabbed him and began to choke him. 'Pay back what you owe me,' he demanded. His fellow servant fell to his knees and begged him, 'Be patient with me. I will pay it back.' But he refused. Instead, he went off and had the man thrown into prison until he could pay the debt. When the other servants saw what had happened, they were outraged and went and told their master everything that had happened. Then the master called the servant in. 'You wicked servant,' he said, 'I canceled all that debt of yours because you begged me to. Shouldn't you have had mercy on your fellow servant just as I had on you?' In his anger, his master handed him over to the jailers to be tortured until he should pay back all he owed. This is how my heavenly Father will treat each of you unless you forgive your brother or sister from your heart." Nobody is left out. He's talking to Peter, the disciples. In fact, when Jesus Christ was talking at the Beatitudes that we're going through, he was talking to the crowd and to the disciples. Where are you there? Are you in the crowd or are you a disciple? I want to be a disciple. Every day I ask the Lord to check me out. Help me. Today I've gone out to pray. He is the one that is holy. If I do anything that, look, God, please forgive me. People, Christians who have been, who have received mercy and now are being harsh with everybody else. They are not lenient, not compassionate. People are made unstable when they come near them. Or if you go near them, you leave them, you leave there raw. They have weapons in their mouth. They destabilize you. God is merciful to us, brothers and sisters, and is patient with us. So if you have received mercy, show mercy to others. This is how I am. It's an adaptation of evil. It is still wrong. Change. Ask the Lord to help you. The point of the main text is that it is those who show mercy towards others that will receive mercy from the Lord. So people should, you know, be merciful about holding grudges, being unforgiving, bitter and resentful, critical, backbiting, fighting each other. If not, we are just setting ourselves up, like the story Jesus told. You have been forgiven a lot. Yes, you have seen that person. Where will it end? Pause. Think. So appraise yourself in the light of God's word today. Appraise yourself in the light of God's word. Do it daily or more often. Start today. Start now. Examine your heart. No, check it out. Check your heart. I want to put three things on the screen for us to look at and individuals to just pray. Just pray on your own. Release people who have hurt you. Leave them to the Lord. That's God's domain. You want to hold that. He's forgiving me. I will deal with that person. No, just release them to God. Be merciful to others. Guard your heart. Think of these three things. And take time to pray. It was all silent, all quiet.